Okay, before we go into a little bit these two parshias, I just want to tie a little bit into the parsha of last week's parsha, parsha Ze'egel, which obviously ties into the Mishkan. As we know, the main focus of the Mishkan was a kapara for the chet of the Egel Azov. You find a very interesting aspect to the post-Egel. Klal Yisrael post-Egel, it sounds like they went down a madrega, more than a madrega. The Banshim tells Moshe Rabbeinu that they heard Edyom, they have to take off their crowns, they were in Avelus. Then all of a sudden, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Rabbeinu Shalom, as he's davening to save us, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Rabbeinu Shalom, Yeleich no Hashem bekirbenu. Moshe Davin Stakodesh Baruch Hu, the Banshim already forgave us. Moshe Rabbeinu should have cut his losses, Baruch Hashem, and Givaldik, be happy. Now Moshe asks, not only should we be happy that Hashem, basically we just were saved from the terrible decree that was upon all of us, that the Banshim was ready to destroy Klal Yisrael, Achalo Yisrael, Koroga. Moshe Rabbeinu now asks that we should be elevated. He says, "V'nifluinu ani v'amcha." Nifluin was miloshem pele, right? Like you say in Hebrew, a pele. "V'nifluinu ani v'amcha mikol adam asher pnei adam." Mikol adam asher pnei adam. We should go up a level. Yelech Hashem bekirbeinu. What's Moshe doing here? What's going on here? We just did a chet of the Egel Azov. How could Moshe be asking? And the Moshe was about to destroy us. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Yud Gimel Midah Shorachamim, come, we survived the Chet of the Egel. So, I mean, if you were Moshe Rabbeinu, you'd say, run! Call Moshe of Gerea, what are you doing? But now Moshe goes and asks for elevation. And it seems that Moshe's request for a promotion, for a post-Egel promotion, was answered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we actually got a promotion. We had an aliyah. You know, the best place would be next to the microphone. Right? We weren't holding it by Bali Tshuva. So far, we're holding by the Rebbe Shem was about to destroy us, and Moshe, come. The Rebbe Shem wasn't even masking. The Rebbe Shem said, you know what? I will upokadati. Right, what do Chazal say? Every generation, we have to pay back for the Chet Egel Azov. Achmanijad Yimach Shemo is part of the Chet Egel Azov. Every generation, the tzoras that we have is a piece of that, a piece of the Egel Azov. So Moshe now asks for promotion. And if we know Aliva Amcho Mikol Adam Hashem Pnei Adam, what's going on? But again, the Baruch Hashem tells Moshe that this request that you said, I'm also going Esa. This is all I'm also going to do. So somehow it seems that even though the luchas were broken, right, the luchas were broken, it seems to be that the breaking of the luchas represents that we went down a level. The Rebbe Shem himself says, Lech Reid Kishiches Amcha. On the other hand, Moshe somehow prevails to get the Rebbe Shem to give us a promotion. It's amazing. A guy's about to get fired. He gets a pink slip. He begs the boss. He says, the boss says, maybe I'll keep you. I want double the salary. Well, sister, grab your job. You know how many people today tell me they've gotten slashed 25%, 50% off? They're happy to have their job. So the Rebbe Shem gave us a pink slip. Not pink, red, pedam. And then we got saved. So Moshe now says, one second, what's the bonus package? I want an up on the, what's going on here? And the Rebbe Shem says, okay. Rebbe Shem okays it. So obviously Moshe knew what he was doing. And obviously he asked for the right thing. And the Rebbe Shem actually responded in kind. The Rebbe Shem agreed with the promotion. So I just want to get a handle what that was. Parshas Vayakel begins with a common theme that we find with the Mishkan, and that's Shabbos. Shabbos is again and again and again repeated with the Mishkan. Shabbos is the central theme of the Mishkan. The Mishkan is the central theme of Shabbos. the Lamates Malachis are the Malachis of the Mishkan. Right? Now we know one of the reasons why Shabbos is found by the Mishkan is to tell us that it's not Doicha Shabbos, and you're not allowed to push off Shabbos for the Mishkan, for the Binyan HaMishkan. But could have said it once for that purpose. Instead, it's Nochamol and Nochamol, 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 Nochamol. What's going on? The importance of Shabbos was so on such a high level that the parasha begins Vayakel Moshe is called Aspen Yisrael. He gathered all Klal Yisrael together for this. Anoshim Noshim the Taf gathered everybody together to tell them, and now it's really by the Chanukas HaMishkan, we're about to celebrate the erection of the Mishkan. And what does he tell us? Not about the Mishkan really, he tells us about Shabbos. He stresses Shabbos. It's almost like it's, you know, when Kantz Klal Yisrael getting together for the very first Chanukah of HaMishkan, you would think that the theme would be about the Beis HaMikdash. The theme is Shabbos. Sfasemus has a big arichas on this. The Indian of Shabbos, Ichud Yisrael, fascinating Sfasemus. So, I want to share with you an idea of why Shabbos is chosen as the theme of the Mishkan. That's the main tachlis, to talk about Shabbos. It says here in the Pasuk, it goes and enumerates all that was brought in for the Mishkan. Vayikra Moshe. And Moshe Rabbeinu actually had to say, Mar b'ma'om mehovi. It's too much. They had more than enough, it's too much. Unbelievable. I often say this is the only campaign ever in the history of Klal Yisrael, building campaign, that the runners running it said too much money came in. Have you ever heard that? By any campaign, too much money came in. Panov Yisrael had a klal, you never finish anything. Panov Yisrael had a rule. He said in the yeshiva, you never finish everything. Because there always has to be something left to fundraise. The building's finished. So one of the great Gogol, he was a brilliant, Panov Yisrael was a brilliant man, b'chlal, and a true leader of Klal Yisrael. I told the Talmidim, if you want to know the brilliance of the Panov Yisrael when he was a young man. A young man, a young Rav, he's a Talmud moving of the Chabetz Chaim, Panov Yisrael. So Panov Yisrael, they had in Russia, they were having the two groups that they were voting for. One was the pro with the Yidden, and the other one was going against all the values of Klal Yisrael. It was called the Bund. The Bund. And the Gedolei Yisrael came out, Pe'echad, that no Jew should vote with the Bund. Okay? The political party, the Bund. And they made it into a tremendous ordeal. And the Panov Yisrael was given the job of speaking, because he was a tremendous orator. Anyway, after one of his speeches, a lady comes over to him. She tells him, Panov Yisrael, I don't know what to do. She said, here all the Gedolei Yisrael are saying to do kach v'kach. She said, I'm married to a guy who's not frum. Not only he's not frum, he's anti the rabbis. And he's dafka. The more he hears that the rabbis say you must, dafka going with the bund. Dafka going against the rabbis. She said, but I as his wife, what am I supposed to do? Should I fight my husband? What should I do? So he turned to her and he said, Isha ksheva oisa rutsayim bayit. She was shocked. A kosher, a woman, does what her husband wants. She came home, she told her husband, you know, I went over to the Panov Yisrael. He said, yeah, and what did the rabbi tell you? He said, Isha ksheva oisa rutsayim bayit, I should vote together with you. He said, if that's what the Panov Yisrael said, we're both voting where he wants us to vote. He became a Shem Torah mitzvah. He immigrated to Eretz Yisrael, and he helped the Panov Yisrael start the Panov Yisrael. That was the greatness from the Panov Yisrael. So they say he was once taking a gevir to the yeshiva to fundraise. And the gevir comes up to the beautiful building, the Panov Yisrael building. It's beautiful. And there's no sidewalk in front of the building. What's going on? Why did he put up such a building? So Panov Yisrael said, if the sidewalk would be finished, then you tell me what do I need money for? Panov Yisrael was always... He got from the one of the heads of the Maskilim, even though they had an article this week that somebody gave $3 million to Epsi Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and Rosh Yeshiva turned it down. Whatever. Turned it down, the $3 million, because it wasn't Epsi from kosher, it wasn't kosher places. The point of Vizhorov, it was offered money by a maskil. A tremendous donation, I'll give it to you, but you have to start a yeshiva. And no Talmud can cover their head. Mom is a fire market. One of Yisrov took the money, he started a Beis Yankov. Maaseh, there was no campaign ever in history where there was more, too much. But the Pasuk says here, Ma'al b'mohon mehovi, it's too much. V'amalocha ho'isa, then right after it says it was too much, it says, V'amalocha ho'isa da'i yom l'chol. It was enough. Dai means enough, not too much. Dai is a lotion you say, dayenu. It's enough, not too much. And then the very same pasuk says, v'hoiser. And there was left over. So it starts off by saying there was too much. Then it says it was dai. It was enough. And then it says, v'hoiser, there was too much. So it's throwing us all over the place here. The Chaim HaKadosh already is aiming on this. What does it mean? Obviously, it's coming to tell us something here. This is in Perek Ramed Vov. The main pasuk that I'm talking about is pasuk Vov, but it's the pasukim before and after. Parshas Pekudei talks a lot about the cheshbonos. Ish Emunim, Moshe Rabbeinu. Believe it or not, they question Moshe Rabbeinu's. Some people question Moshe Rabbeinu's honesty, where the money went. Goes through everything. Finally, after everything is made, it says they brought everything to Moshe. They brought everything to Moshe Rabbeinu. The pasuk says, "Vayal Moshe es kol hamalacha," and they did everything properly. So Rashi brings down a kasha. Why did they bring everything to Moshe Rabbeinu? It says they brought everything to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why did they bring everything to Moshe Rabbeinu? So Rashi says as follows. Rashi says, Shaloi or you yecholim lakimoi. They couldn't lift up the Mishkan. They couldn't stand it up. This Rashi happens to be a mouthful, a fascinating Rashi. They couldn't stand up the Mishkan. So they brought it to Moshe. So Moshe should stand up the Mishkan. So Rashi says then, why was Moshe given the honor? So Rashi says, Lefi shaloyosa Moshe shum aloicha b'mishkan. Even though some of the psukim allude otherwise, Rashi says Moshe did nothing in making of the Mishkan. He did nothing in the Mishkan. Even though he ran the whole campaign, but actual work for the Mishkan Moshe didn't do. So the Baruch Hashem left him something. The Baruch Hashem left him that last piece to stand it up. So that's what Rashi says. The obvious question is, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't be given something more honorable? Something more like Bezalel? Moshe couldn't be given the job. Not only that, we know that there's Midrashim that say Moshe did plenty. Moshe did the menorah. Neskasha Moshe Betzuras HaMenorah. Says Moshe had difficulty making the menorah, so Hashem told him to take the gold and to throw it in the fire, and the menorah came out. So Moshe did do. What do you tell me? Moshe did nothing. Says Lo Yosa Moshe Shum Alocha. Moshe didn't do anything for the Mishkan. Okay? Now Rashi says, so therefore they left him this. And then, Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Baruch Hashem told him, nobody was able to stand up to crush him. Too heavy. So the Baruch Hashem told him, don't worry. Omalei Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eich Efshak HaMosah Adei Odom, I can't stand up to crush him. It's not for one man to do. Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Haseik B'yadecha, you pick up your hands, make believe, or try to erect it. And it will stand up by itself. And Rashi says that's why it uses the words Hukam HaMishkan. It doesn't say Heikim HaMishkan. It says Hukam HaMishkan. Because the Mishkan actually stood up by itself. Hukam HaMishkan. The Mishkan stood up by itself. As I said to Rashi. So a lot of things you see from this Rashi. First of all, you see, every person has a mission. Every person has a mission. A lot of times you wonder, where do I fit in? The Eibishter has something designated for everybody. Even Moshe Rabbeinu had to wait to get to his mission, the mission. But everybody has a mission. Secondly, you see that once you do something, you pave the way for others. Because we don't find once in the 40 years of the Mishkan that they had trouble putting up the kashrus. Ever. What happened? You know what happened? Moshe did it. Once Moshe did it, he paved the way for it to become. The Beis Yosef asked the Magid. You know, Beis Yosef was zecher to learn with a malach. He wrote the Sefer Magid Meshorim from the malach. He learned with a malach. And he asked the malach something that bothered him. He said, malach, there are a lot of simonim in Shulchan Aruch that I spent months developing an approach in understanding a sugya and halacha. He says, then I look around and I see other people came up with the same thing that I did. With ease. And Beis Yosef says, you know, he wasn't an idiot, Beis Yosef. He says, I look and I see a lot of the things that I developed. The Maggid, you know what the Maggid told him? Don't be surprised. You brought it down. You brought the Chiddush down. Once you brought it down, it's much easier for anybody to be mechaven to it. That's why sometimes you have a thought, right? And you see a mechaven to Vilnogorim. Mechaven to Rav Kivego. You wonder, wow, unbelievable, how did I do that? So before you should pat yourself on the shoulder. It's good. But before, just remember, Rav Kivego brought down the Chiddush. Kivego brought down the Chiddush. It's a little easy. Still get credit. Just saying. So once Moshe stood up to Mishkan, now everybody, now he infused the Mishkan with that koyach of Moshe that he put in. Now every time they traveled, they were able to pick up the Mishkan. There was no problem picking it up. But what I think more important here is to better understand why the Rabbanu Shalom didn't, at the end of the day, even give Moshe anything on his own. Now let's analyze it. Moshe, Rashi says, Moshe lo yasa shum alocha b'mishkan. He didn't do anything. And the truth is, the statement is a little true. Why? Because even the menorah he couldn't do. It just came out by itself, the menorah at the end. What does the Rabbanu Shalom leave Moshe to do at the end? He leaves him to do something which everybody knew he couldn't have done. Everybody knew he couldn't have done it. It says, L'asid Lavoi, the Rabbanu Shalom is going to shech the Yetzer Hara. The Gemara says in Sukkah, the tzaddikim are going to cry and the rishonim are going to cry. The famous Gemara at the end of Sukkah. The Gemara says, why are the rishonim going to cry? The rishonim are going to cry because they're going to look at the Yetzer Hara and they're going to say, it's such an easy thing. Why didn't we overcome him? Right? Nid mekechut ha'saira. Yetzer Hara is nothing. Why didn't we overcome the Yetzer Hara? That's the Gemara. The Gemara says, tzaddikim, nid melon kaha. The tzaddikim are going to look at the Yetzer Hara, they're going to go, wow, this is a monster. This is a Herculean action to overcome this. How do we do it? And they are crying and they are crying. That's the Gemara in Sukkah. So the question is obvious. The question is protruding out of the Gemara. Number one, why the Yetzer Hara is very tough? Why to the Rishon does it look like a Chut HaSara? Why does it look like nothing? Okay. That's question number one. Question number two, the tzaddikim that accomplished the overcoming the Yetzer Hara, why are they crying? The Gemara says they're going to look at the Yetzer Hara and they're going to go, how did we overcome this Yetzer Hara? Then why are they crying? Should be very happy. They did an unbelievable feat. They made a discovery, recently they made a discovery that the Washington Monument is sinking. I'm sure if David was more involved, maybe it wouldn't be sinking. But it's sinking. Not so gefährlich, a couple of inches from the 1800s, from when it was done. But so it has some time still ahead of it before it's invisible. Right? If it goes at this pace, it's still going to be aimed there. The ghoul will be way before Mitzvah Hashem. Right? It's sinking. So somebody started criticizing the ones that were involved in the engineering of the Washington Monument. And Lamaisa, the critics of the critics say it's still pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. You can always criticize. It's pretty impressive. End of the day, it's pretty impressive. Washing the monument. So when the tzaddikim at the end are going to see the Yetzer Hara, they're going to see a monument, a mountain, why are they going to cry? They should go, wow, look what we built. And the answer, my friends, is very pushed. The emes is Yitzchay Shalodim is Gaber Olav B'Kol Yom. V'ilmole HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oizloi Eino Yochalei. If Hashem would not help you, you would not be able to come over the Yetzer Hara. You can only overcome the Yetzer Hara because Hashem helps you. The Rishon come up to Shemayim, and Rabban Shalom says, Jack, why didn't you overcome your Yetzer Hara? So Jack says, what do you mean? You know my Yetzer Hara? I'm just a regular guy. My Yetzer Hara is a sophisticated genius. That's impossible. I couldn't deal with him. It wasn't a fair game. Rabban Shalom wasn't a fair game. You put me out in the rink with a Yetzer Hara. I'm just a pashta guy. That's what every person is going to say. So you know what the Rebbeinu is going to show you? He's going to show all the Rishonim how much they had to do and how much he would have kicked in for them. Chut asayra. Pischuli pischa shel machat. That's why the Rishonim it's going to look like a little here. Because the Rebbeinu is going to show them that if they would have made that little move, if they would have done a little bit, the Rebbeinu would have ended the day for them. The tzaddikim, on the other hand, they see the whole Yetzer Hara with all his glory. They go, we didn't do this. We thought we did. But there was a Rabbeinu Shalom that did it. Because this we couldn't have done. And that's why they're also breaking. Because they see the whole thing, they go, this is not shaykh. The Rosh sees that in fact it was very shaykh because the Rabbeinu Shalom would have done most of the work for them. No more HaKadosh Baruch Hu is where the Yetzer Hara. The emes is that all averus that we do are based on the fact that we forget for the moment. We forget for the moment who runs the show here. Who runs the show? We forget about that. Whether it's that we think we can't overcome the Yetzer Hara, whether it's that we compromise our monetary, whether it's honesty, whether it's hanhogas that we should have in business because we don't know where panos is going to, we're worried about our panos. Whether it's not being oisik in chesed, whether it's nekom or netira, all these things are based on a lack of emunah. The perfect maimon, the hemin b'ashem v'yachsheve eloi tzedaka. If somebody is maimon b'ashem, everything else is easy. It's the emunah. If the Rishonim would have had the emunah when they were in this world, that all we do, all basar v'dam, is a chut asara. The Rebbeinu Shalom does the rest, there'd be no Rishon. The Rishon don't have that view. That's the whole idea. That's the idea of the Mishkan. The idea of the Mishkan is, the emes is that when we did the Chet of the Egel Azov, we made a tremendous error. The error we made was, we gave too much credit to ourselves. We thought we have our leader, we have Moshe, right? We didn't realize that there's a Rabbeinu Shalom. And Moshe also is nothing without the Rabbeinu Shalom. And Yeshua Ben Nun is nothing without Moshe Rabbeinu. And Aaron is nothing without Moshe Rabbeinu. And none of us are nothing without the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's all the Rabbeinu Shalom. We gave too much credit to ourselves, too much credit to Moshe. We took away the credit from the Rabbeinu Shalom. When we went to Aaron HaKohen frantically and we said, "Asei lonu Elohim, ki zeh ish Moshe lo yadanu ma'ay Eloi," what were we frantic? Well, it's frantic. We have the Rebbeinu Shalom. Rebbeinu Shalom will take care of us. No. We must have something. Because if we don't have something that we can feel, that we can touch, we don't have emunah. That's why we built the Egel Azov. That was the foundation of the Egel Azov. Foundation of the Egel Azov was thinking that it's us, the power is in us, Moshe, not the Rebbeinu Shalom. Otherwise, we would have gone frantic. Otherwise, there would have been no issue. You know, if Eliyashiv was still hoping in Mitz Hashem, he should have a full Shlema. He's living beneath Nisim. Every time they do something, they do a procedure, and he pulls through, they say it's Nisim in the Floyas. So he was awake. Now he's in. They keep him a lot of the time in an induced coma, while the respirator, while he's connected to the respirator, other things. But they had a couple of days in the middle, the last couple of weeks, where he was awake. He was actually talking, and the doctors were misspoiled. He was coherent, and he was talking, and he was. So, his grandson said, when they asked him, what can we do for the Zayda? Do something for him. What can we do for the Zayda? So he said in a whisper, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam tut alles for me. Is there anything you want? Should we tell doctor? Should we ask this? Should we? That, what can we do for the Zayda? They wanted to. So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is taking care of it. There is zero that I need. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam is taking care of everything. If Klal Yisrael before when we thought Moshe was missing, we would have had that emuna, the Egel HaZov would have never come. The whole Egel HaZov, even the way the Baalei Machshava explain it, is because we felt there's an emtsoi, and we need an emtsoi. We can't. It's not just the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Moshe Rabbeinu, therefore, after Egel HaZov said Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the cure to the Egel is Yelech No Hashem B'Kirbeinu Ki Am Kishay Harefu. We need you in our midst so that we don't make a mistake to think that there's an emtsoi. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu asked for a promotion. He asked for a promotion because he said, look, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, when it's not Yelech Hashem B'Kirbeinu, then people get lost. They thought, that's what led to the Egel HaZov. That's why it fits in the Lashon of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yelech Hashem B'Kirbeinu Kiyam K'sheyarefu. The Hakamas HaMishkan was that opportunity for all of us to have a place where we can actually feel the Shekhinah. That was the purpose of the Mishkan. Purpose of the Mishkan was because the Egel HaZov was not feeling the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our midst. The Kapara for the Chet of the Egel was that we should feel the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is here. And that was the Mishkan. The Mishkan is like a tam where you feel the Rebbeinu Shel Olam in your midst. V'shachanti b'soichom. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam is in our midst. That was the Mishkan. What's Shabbos? Shabbos is not, the tachlos of Shabbos is not a day of rest. The tachlos of Shabbos is that every single week that we live on this world, we remember that it's all Ma'aseh Bereishis. Just like Adam HaRishon, when he was created on Friday, and he saw the whole beautiful world around him, he had no Hava Mina that he created it. He knew how it got created. He had no Hava Mina, he did anything. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam did everything. That's Ma'aseh Bereishis. We have an obligation in our weeks, every single week of our lives, to live up to that Adam HaRishon. Shabbos is there to give us a Hakara that everything is created by the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. If you look at the pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Vayakel, Sheishes Yomim, it doesn't say Tase Melocha. Teose means it will happen. The purpose of the Mishkan was to give us a better feeling of what Shabbos is. The 6 days of work is not our work. It's Teose Melocha. The work will be done. Shabbos is there to teach us that the 6 days of work that we're working, yeah, we're doing our piece. But the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is running everything. We're just doing our piece. It's Teyoseh. The work is happening on its own. That's the introduction to the Mishkan, because that is the tachlis of the Mishkan. The tachlis of the Mishkan is to bring that Nekuda to us. V'amalach ois adayim v'hoiser. The purpose of all the malacha that was brought to the Mishkan was what's left out from it. After we gave the malacha to the Mishkan, what we take back from that Mishkan. And therefore, when it came time to put up the Mishkan, we couldn't stand up to crush him. Because the lesson of the Mishkan is that it's not us. And therefore, what did Rebbeinu Shel Olam leave Moshe to do? The most important job. So I asked you, what kind of job did Rebbeinu Shel Olam give Moshe? He gave Moshe a job that everybody knew Moshe didn't do. That's the most chash of a job in the Mishkan. The Chanukas HaMishkan was, you know what? It's not us. That was the party. How do you celebrate a Chanukah HaMishkan? Biladai. It's not us. So the Chanukah HaMishkan was Moshe moving his hands and everybody knowing the Ribbono Shel Olam was picking up the cushion. And I asked you, that's Moshe, why don't you give him a more hush of a job? That is the most hush of a job to have. That's the most hush of a job to have. The most hush of a job to have is a job that through and through you see it's my fashion. Because that's ultimately the tachlis of the Mishkan. The tachlis of the Mishkan was, that was the whole function and purpose of the Mishkan, was to bring that out. So if all we're going to do is bring stuff and build a Mishkan, there's no tachlis. The tachlis is what's left over. What we take home from that Mishkan. And the taking home is to take home the lesson of Shabbos Kodesh. That's what we're supposed to take home from the Mishkan.